Women invest differently than men. It's true. Sometimes it is in their favor, and sometimes it is not, because of systemic and cultural barriers that make for an uneven playing field. Nancy Tengler is the Chief Investment Officer of Laffer Tengler Investments. Her book is The Women's Guide to Successful Investing, and it takes you through how you can manage your finances and come up with a great, great financial plan. She joins us from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
There is a very compelling case to be made for why we need to focus on women, and not just because of equity, but because women are likely to live longer than men. And so if they happen to be married to a guy, there is in all likelihood going to be a period when they are solo and when they need to manage their own money. I mean, it doesn't get any more clear than that when it comes to vested interest. That's one of the reasons I get fired up about this. The other is I have an 11-year-old daughter. What gets you fired up about this?
Thank you. It is my passion. I wrote the book because I met, I was in the investment business. I retired, went and got an MFA in creative writing. And so I met all these women that I hadn't had time to meet before at sporting events, et cetera, advanced degrees, you know, medical doctors, dentists, and to a person, when they asked what I did, and I said, oh, I used to be chief investment officer, which I am again, they would recoil and say, oh, I leave that to my husband. And so here were very smart women who knew, and still, by the way, nationwide, the majority know little to nothing about not just their finances, but how the assets are invested. And so this leads to, because you rightly point out that we tend to live 5 years longer, the average age of a widow in the United States is 59. And so, and I was very surprised by that until I became one of the statistics. And you're not ready. You think you have plenty of time. In my case, I was fortunate because I managed the family wealth, but most women don't, and they don't have any understanding of where things are. They don't have a relationship with the financial advisor. So they end up not having trust. And often two-thirds of the time they fire the investment advisor. And then that's expensive and disruptive in their lives at a time when they don't need that. So I determined to work with women, to educate women on how accessible investing is, because the research shows that women actually make better investors than men.
I want to get to that because it's fascinating. But before we do, why do you think women are more likely to defer investment management decisions to a husband if they happen to be heterosexual, but to men? Why do you think that is?
I think because we've excused ourselves. I think it's partly our fault. We've excused ourselves from the conversation, but we've never been encouraged to participate. And so, you know, plus add to the fact that most women are pretty darn busy. If they're single mothers raising a family and working, or if they've got a whole family and they're not working. I mean, the busiest time of my life was when I stopped working and I had to drive carpool and go to Costco, and it was a nightmare. So I think that's part of it. But the discouraging fact is that millennial women defer at a lower rate than, I'm sorry, baby boomer women defer at a lower rate than millennial women. So the trend is going in the wrong direction.
Right. It is interesting insight, because of all the household duties, and I'm stereotyping here, a male is more likely to raise his hand to take care of the investment portfolio, perhaps, than make dinner or care for aging parents or change yet another diaper.
That's so true. In my marriage, my husband was an only child. And I don't know if you have much information on only children, but I didn't do the dishes correctly, thank God. So he did them for our entire marriage, which has proven to be quite a problem lately that I'm on my own. But I managed the assets.
Yes. Well, my husband's the youngest of five, and he has told me that not only do I do the dishes wrong, he loads the dishwasher wrong. So at least we're even on that front. I want to talk, you referenced this, the strengths that women have in investing. There is a study that articulates the returns versus men, and part of the benefit seems to be because they trade less often. Tell me about the net of it, why returns tend to be better, and what insight that can provide for women who are really trying to learn more in this area.
So that's a great question. Bruce, we have a real live lab on this right now with GameStop. It wasn't the women that were jumping in and speculating, because that really is speculation, but it was mostly men. And the reason that the lack of trading, or the lower amount of trading that women engage in, is more productive is because, first of all, your after-tax total return is going to be better. And stocks need 3 to 5 years to outperform or to generate the kind of returns we're looking for. But if you, and this is what the study showed, it was men, boys will be boys, gender and overconfidence, I think was the title of the study. Women held their securities longer and they outperformed married men by 1% per year over the 10-year period. That's a lot when that compounds over a very long period of time. They outperformed single men by 3% annually.
Wow.
So the sort of juicy competitive nature was much greater for single men who are competing against a benchmark. Women are doing more research, and that's also empirically proven. And they're willing to hold stocks. I call them stocks to own for a lifetime, for a much longer period of time, because they've done their research and because they're not as competitive.
And the single straight men are spending a lot of money on black leather couches for their man boobs. So that's expensive. That's not free. Your book, The Women's Guide to Successful Investing, you've got these intelligent investing rules. Give us two or three of your favorites.
Okay. So I think in order, the first one is that you've got to establish your life goals early and stick to your plan. But if you think that you've waited too long and that it's hopeless, I would encourage you to reconsider that. One of the examples I give is a nurse who recently passed away at the ripe old age of 100 plus. But she didn't begin investing. Her name is Stephanie Muka, and she didn't begin investing until she was in retirement on a fixed income. And yet when she died, she had given away $3 million and she still had $2.5 million in her portfolio. So if she could build that kind of wealth on a fixed income. Now, she had a lot of years to do it. She had about almost 40 years, but still, and she had no formal training. So I encourage women, retirement is 20 years of unemployment. You can start anytime. You just have to adjust the kind of stocks you own if you have a short, you know, a super short period of time.
Was there one other that you want to highlight there?
Yes. Don't run with the fast crowd. And
that's like wisdom for how I should have done high school.
Exactly. But especially now when you've got, you know, social influencers tweeting about the stocks they're buying, Reddit, the Redditors on GameStop and other names. If you buy what you know, I cite a bunch of mistakes I made in the book. So by the end of it, you're going to say, why am I listening to her? But it was always because I took tips from people I didn't know, or I bought something I didn't understand. And so what I've focused on myself is you buy stocks you can own for a lifetime, products you use, companies you know that have a great reputation, and you just keep adding to them.
I want to ask one more question before we go. And that is, many, many of our listeners work with professional financial advisors to varying degrees of success. What is one tip you would have for women out there to ensure that they get the best value out of that relationship? Because I know anecdotally, many women, many clients overall, but many women in particular, feel like they can't ask questions, or somehow advisor knows best, and they aren't ensuring that that relationship really works for them.
That's an awesome question. And again, it's why I wrote the book. And I've had women come up to me and say, you know, my advisor treats me with more respect now because I understand the language. But also I have a chapter on how to select an advisor and the questions you should be asking them. But here's the issue. You ask your advisor not only what is his fee, because, or her fee, because that's important, right? But what are the fees on the investments that he or she may be putting you in? Because those come out at the fund level. So if you're in ETFs or mutual funds, if that's what your advisor uses, I don't do that. I use individual securities, but most advisors do. And so you're paying your advisor a fee to put you in other funds that also have a fee. And that ensures pretty much that you can never beat the market. And it has a hugely negative impact on your total return 20 years out, because fees compound just like dividend growth and interest rates do. and not to your advantage.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people will take some of your advice to put to their advantage. Nancy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Nancy Tengler is the Chief Investment Officer of Lafler Tengler and the author of The Women's Guide to Successful Investing.